This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message, titled Doing Family as a Team, Pastor Aaron describes four practices of the successful family. This message was recorded on Sunday, May 24, 2015. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
Doing family as a team. Now, when I first thought about this concept, this doing family as a team, there was one movie that came to mind, and undoubtedly one of the greatest movies of all time. How many of you seen The Incredibles? One of my most amazing movies of all time. If you saw The Incredibles, great. If not, spoiler alert, I'm going to ruin it for you, okay? So I'm telling you everything. No, not everything, but just about everything. The Incredibles were a family, and a family of superheroes. There was Dad, who was just had the strength of 1,000 men. Mom, who had super elasticity. My mom wasn't like that. Sister had telekinetic powers, and then there was little baby brother who could move like the wind. You see, and that's why they were called the Incredibles. But there was one in the family, the bigger brother. I don't know if he was a middle child, but he was just regular. He didn't have any superpowers. And they thought he was just a late bloomer. You know, I love that movie and I love his character because I could identify with him. He has no my dad, he's Superman. My mother, she can do just about anything, as small as she is. My sister is smarter than Einstein. Kaleo is talented beyond belief. He could pick up a stick and make that thing do music. And then my baby sister, Lena, has the power of 10 hurricanes. And then there's me. And I could identify with that character. Because growing up, I felt like that all these guys were super talented. But then along came Aaron, and he was just a regular Joe. Well, the ending of the movie, when this family actually takes on the bad guy, this super villain who has this machine that is just about indestructible. They take on this guy, and even Dad, with all his powers, and Mom, and Sister and Brother, with their powers, they were getting dirty victims. You know what it took? It took common sense from the kid who was just a regular Joe, to join the team. That's what took down the villain. See, with all of their powers, the greatest power of all, the one that actually did the job, was teamwork. And that's always will be the greatest power when it comes to your family, in doing family as a team. And that's a dream that I've always had for my family. Way before CJ and AJ came along, way before I got lost in car anxieties and began to envision the future that we would share, long before I even met her, I desired to have a family that would impact the world. One that would work together to become an unstoppable force where dreams are realized and the future would always hold hope. And I know something else. This I know, that you desire the very same thing. You feel the same way. I know that because I have never heard anyone say that I so wish that my family was a bunch of losers. Or my greatest desire is that my family would be mediocre. You ever hear that? Nobody says that. In fact, when we do family-related counseling, it's because of the opposite. It's because they know that their family isn't hitting it on all cylinders, not reaching the full potential. We all want incredible, world-impacting families, don't we? And you know why we want that? Because that's what God desires. In fact, that's why when he came up with this concept of family, so that we would have a built-in support unit that would teach us about love and relationships and about working together. I said this last week, that I believe this with all my heart, that if we get our families right, we'll eliminate most of the problems in this world. Because if we're loving and living and working as a team, it'll impact our community, which will impact our state, which will impact our nation, which will impact the world like we can never imagine. But that can only happen. It's got to begin with the relationships and working on the relationships right in our own four walls. And you can write this into your notes. The successful family is the core building block of the church and society. Successful family is a core building block of the church and society. Folks, that's where it starts. See, the smallest church, the smallest cell of society is called the family. Now, I've heard some people say that this concept doesn't really apply to them because they don't have family, at least not here in East Hawaii. And if that's you, then I want to change that thinking in you right now. And what I want you to do is just look around you. Because God has placed you in a family 150 strong, right here in East Hawaii. See, here in Hawaii, we know that ohana extends beyond the borders of the birthright. And that's what we are. When He placed us here as New East Hawaii, we are a family. So although I'll be referring to the family in the traditional sense today, every concept applies to everyone. Get it? Good. So today we're talking about doing family as a team. And no matter what talent or superpower you may have as an individual, the greatest power you will always be teamwork. And again, when a family chooses to work together, it becomes an unstoppable force with world-changing potential. So we're going to learn four ways on how we can be a family who works together to make everyone successful. And I remember being a young leader in the church. And one of my friends, an elder in my life, he told me this. He said, Aaron, you want to be successful in ministry? Or in all of life for that matter? Then get to know your wife well. Be her best friend and know her well. And make sure you do the same when you have kids. Because that's who God placed in your corner. I've always remembered that piece of advice, and I've come to see time and time again how true it is. You know, it's true for every successful business, every successful sports team, every successful family, that they know each other well. Know what they've got in their corner, and you can write this into number one. The successful family takes inventory. The successful family takes inventory. They know each other well, and you know why? Because they choose to invest the time into getting to know each other well. Because they understand that family is a gift of a team. A team that God gave them. Now, I know what some of you are thinking at this one. You're thinking, if I took inventory of my family, I may not like what I find. In fact, I'd rather take inventory of Joel's family. Because that's how I want my family, my wife, my husband, my kids to be like. Well, let me tell you something. You want Joel's family is like that? Because Joel invested in that. That's why. Finish this phrase for me. The grass is greener. I heard two S's. One was on the other side. Wrong. Grass is not greener on the outside. The grass is greener where you water it. The grass is greener where you water it. Throw it at all. Don't ever listen to that. Grass will be greener where you water it, where you invest the time to make it green. There's a man, his name is David. And in my opinion, David was the second most celebrated character in all of the Bible. You see, David was, as a young man, he was a shepherd. And being out in the fields, he would spend a lot of time, not just with his sheep, but he spent a lot of time with God. And one day, it was prophesied over him that he would become king of the nation of Israel. Took a long time, but he finally made his way into the palace. And then you would think that if God said he was going to be king, then God would have given him an outstanding army, a great nation, mighty men, to fight along with him. You know what David's first assignment was? He was actually chased out of the kingdom by the king, whose name was Saul. Fearing for his life, he ran away and he went out into the desert. And you know what he found there? He found his army. You know what his army was? The grumblers, the thieves, the rubbish of society. That's what God gave him. You know, if I was David, I probably would have said, forget this. This is what God had in mind for me to be king over. I don't want this. But David didn't say that. You know what David did? He invested in these guys. And you know what happened? He fashioned them. And they were called the mighty men of God. He fashioned them into that kind of army. He took the dirt of society and made them into something that all the other nations, including Israel, feared. That's what David did. Luke 16:10 says this. It says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Way too often we get caught up in looking at what we don't have. Especially when it comes to family. That's why the grass is green on the other side. Because we're not investing the time to get to know each other. And if we don't know each other, then we cannot begin to work together towards anything great. That's how important taking inventory is, so that we can begin to recognize not what we don't have, but so that we can begin to recognize what God gave us. And that's what successful families do. And to get an accurate inventory, you've got to invest time. Because just when you think you got your family figured out, and I'm learning this one as my kids turn into adults now, just when you think you got them figured out, things change. It's a constant measure of spending time together, not just time, but quality time together, getting to know who's in your corner. And you never know when a genuine inventory-taking moment is going to happen. I think it was 5 years ago now. Super Bowl Sunday. And if you know my daughter CJ, she loves football. She thinks she knows more about football than I do. She's right. But one of the things we have done while she was growing up was we would always set aside Super Bowl Sunday to watch. Well, AJ, my son, was not really into football. He knows enough to get him by so that he doesn't sound like he's talking stupid when he talks about football. I've taught him enough there. But he's not really into it. So about 5 years ago, as CJ and I was getting ready, we came home from church and we had time to get ready for football. AJ wanted to be a part of what we were doing, so what he did was he said, I'll cook lunch. Oh, win an idea. Now we can watch the pregame. And AJ was cooking. So during the pregame, of course, I figured, camp, I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning. I took a little nap. And, you know, I had a good hour and a half before the game would start. So it was a good nap. So while I'm sleeping, CJ's watching the pregame, AJ's cooking. We're all good. See, Carlin, my wife, is actually at work that day. So while I can hear myself snoring above that, I think there's something going on in the kitchen. And what I hear is AJ running back and forth. And I kind of thought I heard him say, oh no, oh no, oh no. First thing I think is I'm dreaming, so it's okay. And if I'm not, then CJ's out of control. Then I hear CJ, and she goes in there and she says, settle down now. I know, when she says settle down, something going on. She says, settle down, don't worry about it. I'll go get Daddy. So already I'm starting to wake up. She comes to me, Daddy, wake up. There's a really big fire in the kitchen. So that got me up real quick. I get up, I turn the corner, and sure enough, AJ had baked some fish for us in the oven. And along with that, he wanted to make this peanut oil sauce. And it smelled really good, even when it was on fire. But he covered a pot, so it overflowed a little bit and it caught on fire. So I turned the corner and there's this big fire on this little pot. And I gotta push him on the side. He's going nuts. I gotta push him on the side, get him under control, grab the pot, open up the door, keep it far enough away from me where it's not burning me. And I let you know, I hardly get a pair of my arms, but all was gone after that one. Get him out into the driveway, and of course I know that if I shoot him with water, we're gonna have a big explosion, right? So I didn't do that. I sat out there and waited until it all burned up. I tell you what, all of my neighbors had barbecue that day. I had the biggest one. But continuing on the story, I go inside and of course it woke me up from my nap, so I'm kind of disturbed. And I come in and poor AJ. He's in there and he's feeling bad and he's already in his room kind of cleaning things up in his room and he's crying, and I promised him every time I tell this story I would say he cried like a man. He's crying like a man. But I let him deal with that, and when he came outside we talked sorry and we said everything was good. We ate the fish was unreal. And just let him know everything was all right. He was trying to do something good, and you know, things happen like this. Yeah, and the fish didn't need the sauce. It was that good. So we were having a wonderful day, and one thing we decided was, do not tell our mommy. After the game was over, Carla was done with work, so I went to go pick her up. And I'm driving home, and you know, we only live 5 minutes away from Mimi-Law. And I'm halfway there, 2.5 minutes into my drive home. And she looks at me and she says, something is going on, and you gotta tell me what. So before I got home, I pulled on the side of the road, I filled her all in, and I said, please, don't help anything. You stop playing off today. And she agreed. So we went into the house, and AJ is acting as calm as he can. But Carlin, being as smart as she is, she's throwing little hints at him. So a little bit black today. Did I leave it like that? Wow, there's a really nice smell in the air. What is that? And after about five or 10 minutes of doing that, AJ breaks down. And he's like, Mom, I gotta tell you the truth. And he does. And she says, okay, everything is good. We're gonna clean everything up really, really good. Make sure this doesn't happen again. And above all, don't ever try to hold anything from mommy again. I know it's a good fun story, but why am I telling you this? Because here's the inventory that I took away from this story. Found out that AJ is a great cook, but he cannot cook with me not around. And another thing, he's very truthful. Found out that CJ is very calm and collected in high-pressure situations. Now, there's a downside that I found out, too. That CJ is too calm and collected in high-pressure situations. What I found out about me is that because of my kids and the way that they are, I'm going to have plenty of opportunities to be a hero. And then above all, don't mess with mommy. Now, I believe that God allowed that situation to happen so that we could learn about each other's strengths and weaknesses. As I reflect on it, I see how we all work together to take even a bad situation and turn it into something good. Also put something else on display. Showed me how different we are. Even though we family, an immediate family, showed me how different we are. And even though CJ and AJ are half my DNA, our reactions, our passions, and especially our skills are very different. They're 18 and 19 now, and I understand, way beyond the shadow of a doubt, that my kids are their own person. And God designed them that way. So are yours. And we can spend a lot of time getting frustrated over the differences, even fighting about them, and never accomplishing anything. But the more I get to know my family, the more I understand that those differences aren't there by circumstance. They aren't there by mistake. They exist by godly design. God does that. Every successful team, every successful family learns to work together, accentuating the differences. They don't fight them. You know what they do? They embrace them. You can write that into number two. The successful family embraces the differences. Successful family embraces the differences. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 18, it reads this. It says, "But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it." How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, "I don't need you." The head can't say to the feet, "I don't need you." In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. I was talking about football. You know, in the game of football, everybody dreams about being what position? Quarterback. The quarterback gets all the glory. He gets all the fame. He gets a big paycheck. Gets all the girls, right? Everybody wants to be a quarterback. Let me tell you something about the quarterback. Without everybody else, without the other 10 guys on his team, quarterback is nothing. When I was in college, my freshman year there, we had this quarterback, and he was supposed to be this big superstar. And I remember being in practice with him one day. This was his preseason. And things were going great in that practice. And in the middle of the practice, he threw down the ball, he threw down his helmet, and he started yelling at the big guys up front, the five linemen. And this is what he told them in the end. He said, "If you guys aren't going to do your job, then get out of the way." You know what they did? Next day they got out of the way. He never did that to them again. We need each other. And we need to embrace our differences. You know, so many marriages end in divorce within the first 3 years. And most of those are because they start out the wrong way. Because they start out with people looking in the mirror and saying, "That's what I want in a spouse." They look at themselves and say, "That's what I want in a spouse." They look for the same looks, the same qualities, same interests, skills, and passions. Only to find out very soon that that's not what God had planned. No, God did it. He did it like this. He took a rib from the man, and with the rib, He fashioned woman. He took a part of the man and crafted woman for him. Now, if she's a part that is taken from him, then she'll be everything that he's not. You understand that? She's a part taken from him. Will be everything. God shall be everything that he's not, and vice versa. You may not believe this, but 21 years ago actually now, when I met my wife, Carly, I was what they call an extrovert. And I was an extreme extrovert. If you knew me back then, you would understand. I could go live in a cave and I'd be perfectly fine. No human contact. But that's how I was. Somewhere along the line, God decided that I would be a pastor one day. Being able to talk to people, being able to strike up conversations without sweating. I mean, I really couldn't have a one-on-one conversation with you unless I knew you for a very long time. At least not a meaningful conversation. That's the way that it was, without sweating. So what does he do? Takes a rib from me, fashioned a 10-plus extrovert, names her Carlin, and then puts her back in my life. She is everything that I'm not. When I met her, if I didn't take her out to go be in the crowds at least three times a day, she would die. That's the way that she was. So for 7 years of our lives, we fought that, tooth and nail. And many times, almost ending in divorce, she wanted to go to parties, I did. She wanted to go shopping, I couldn't. That's the way we fought. Then one day, we decided, instead of fighting each other, we started to work on our differences, accepting them, and helping each other out. Today, I can have a meaningful conversation with anybody. She, on the other hand, is more focused in what she does. But it all happened because we started to embrace our differences. And that's how a team works, that everybody brings their differences to the table, and everyone embraces the value of the others. Not only that, everybody plays their best. You know how they do it? They don't do it fighting each other. They do it all in agreement, and that's number three. The successful family agrees to agree. Successful family agrees to agree. Matthew 18:19 is one of my life verses. That's because it's a promise from God. It's a promise with power. I call it the power of agreement. It's powerful for business, it's powerful in sports, it's powerful in ministry. But I believe that there is nowhere that it is more powerful than when it comes to family. And this is what it says. It says, I also tell you this, that if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. You heard that? That's a promise from God. That if two of you agree here on earth concerning what? Anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. You know who said this? Wasn't an apostle. Wasn't a biblical scholar. Wasn't a pastor or a priest. Jesus said this. This comes straight out of the heart of God. And notice it that he didn't say if you agree on the most religious thing, or on the most popular thing, or on the most optimal thing. He said, if you agree on anything.
Yeah.
Let me show you something, and I'm going to write this one out. Last week I got scolding because I wrote too small. So if I do that again, just scold me now so that my daughter doesn't have to do it for you, okay? How many times have you heard this statement? We agree to disagree. How about this one? We choose to compromise. I've heard many married couples say this. And you know what happens? As you watch them in their lives, you find out that when they agree to disagree, that's all they ever do. Is disagree. When they choose to compromise, watch their marriage. It gets compromised. They may have been married 25, 30 years, but you watch them. They go on different vacations. They have different checking accounts. They live different lives. Don't agree to disagree. Don't agree to compromise. Let me show you something about compromise. Compromise at its very best is 50-50. That's not the bad thing about it. The bad thing is it's 50-50 in two different directions. That's compromise. So I encourage you, do this. Agree to agree. Instead of compromise, in everything that you do, whether you agree in the beginning, whether you like it or not, in the end, when it all comes down to it, when you choose to move, you all move together in agreement. Agreement is 100%. And not just 100%. 100% in the same direction. See the difference there? That's what agreement is. That's why I'm encouraging you to choose to agree when it comes to family. You know, when we choose to do this, we either succeed together or we fail together. The thing is, we do it together. cannot tell you how to count it. Because only you know your family best. I can tell you how it's done in my house. See, in my house, we only have two rules. Rule number one, daddy's right. Rule number two, if daddy is wrong, refer back to rule number one. That's actually not how we do it. But you gotta figure that out. And you figure that out by spending time with one another and embracing the differences. And then choosing to agree. And then number four, the successful family moves as one. A successful family moves as one. And I cannot say it any better than one of the greatest philosophers of all time said. And this is what she said. Ohana means no one gets left behind. There's no better philosopher is? Lilo. Lilo is this. Now you know what kind of movies I watch. Hebrews 10:23 says this: Let us hold unswervingly the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. You know how no one gets left behind? Is that we choose to encourage one another. Again, embracing and encouraging the differences that we have. There's only one way that this happens. It comes out of Colossians 3, where it says, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Let me show you what that looks like. And I know for most of you, you've already seen this one. But I won't do it again. Because I believe God said, see how no one gets left behind. Is like this. This is what a relationship looks like. I also love triangles. This side is me, and that's you. A relationship is not just two parts, because there's always a foundation to the relationship. The one who created the relationship in the first place. That's the foundation. Let me show you something, just say something real quick, a side note. You ever see a relationship without God? Just like this. You know what happens in this relationship? No foundation. When things get heavy, falls flat. That's what happens. That's why don't ever forget in all of your relationships, make sure that God is your foundation. Okay? But this is what relationship looks like. And a lot of times we'll have differences. We'll have things that we don't agree with. And let me show you a surefire way to make everything work. The way that we can always come back into agreement. The way that we will always move at one is like this. Whatever we do, when it all comes down to it, always bring back to God who He is. Whatever you do, always bring it back to God. Amen? You put away your books, your notes. Yeah. And you guys probably cannot see this, so I probably put my notes together to put a little I love you guys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today. And Lord, we want to thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Father, so many times we will come before you to pray for our families. times we come before you grumbling about our families. But today, Lord, we're asking you to help us to learn how to relate to our families and relate well. We're the ones that are here, and we are the ones that you are choosing to talk to today. Father, we pray your will be done. We want to see our families to be successful in this life and to impact this world, not just this world, but all of eternity. But we know that it can only happen through your strength. So Lord, teach us and show us what we get to do, how we get to give our life.
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope Christian Fellowship, East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16675 Milo Street, Keaau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.